Another election like the wild result in Canada last month that has sent pollsters back to the drawing board. This time it's in Turkey, and instead of overthrowing a government, voters in Turkey delivered a surprise and decisive victory to the AKP, the Justice and Development Party, led by former Prime Minister turned President Tayyip Erdogan. Erdogan wants to make constitutional changes to give himself more power, but recent terrorist attacks, an economic downturn, and perceived unpopularity had suggested a defeat or at least a close contest. Now President Erdogan is just a few votes away from having a majority that could rewrite the Turkish constitution. Let's return to our friend Soner Çayapte, director of the Turkish Research Program at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. Soner, this was a real surprise. What does it mean?
Absolutely, it was. No pollster had guessed that there would be a clean sweep of the AKP back to legislative majority. And I think the surprise, the fact that the electorate went back to the AKP is because in the last 5 months, following the June elections, which produced a hung parliament in Turkey for the first time in 13 years, Turkey experienced an incredible amount of instability, a slowing economy, tumbling lira, attacks with fighting with the outlawed Kurdistan Workers' Party, PKK, and last but not least, massive attacks by the so-called Islamic State in the heart of the nation's capital, killing more than 100 people. So the Turks were just shocked, and they decided to go back to single-party rule, unpleasant as it might be, hoping that all this economic and political instability would come to an end.
So this was a vote for peace and tranquility with a controversial leader who sometimes steps over the line to many people in Turkey.
I would even say it was a vote for security over freedoms, in the sense that although there's now, it's commonly accepted that President Erdogan's authoritarian means are unwelcome by most Turks, ironically, still half of the Turks voted for his government because they were afraid that this reign of terror with both PKK and ISIS attacking Turkey, as well as the economy slowing down, would just be catastrophic because they look at their neighbors like Syria and Iraq and they see what happens there. I think they really did not want Turkey to get sucked in. So they picked security over freedoms. And that's maybe unfortunate in the long term because this government will become even more entrenched in power. It's going to become increasingly more difficult to fight it out. Elections are still free and fair in Turkey, but I think they will become increasingly unfair because of the government's heavy-handed control of the media. But in the short term, I think it's a smart choice, in quotes, for the electorate because people want to see the end of terror, violence, fighting, and economic instability. And I think that worked in terms of the government strategy.
Right. Two thoughts before we go, though. Why would people not tell pollsters that they're interested in peace and stability? In other words, why were the pollsters so fooled here? And will Erdogan be able to get his 13 extra votes to have a supermajority?
Well, look, what happened recently in the British elections is that the Conservative Party, Tories, outperformed the expectations in the polls. And the analysts explained the same. So we have shy Tories. We have people who vote for Conservative but are shy to say that they will in the polls. And I think in Turkey, we have shy AKP Erdogan supporters, people who are voting for this Conservative authoritarian guy but are shy to say that in the polls because they rather see stability, but they can't really admit that. And I think that was a gap that pollsters failed to identify.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a global trend. We've seen the same issue in Israel, Canada, all around the world. The 13 votes that Erdogan needs to have his constitutional rewrite, do you think that's possible?
That's still a far-fetched process because even if he had that, he would still need a referendum. And remember, even with this pivot towards security, his party still did not get more than 50% support. And the fact that he's been ruling the country for 13 years, so I think that he's not going to be able to change the constitution, but he will continue to run Turkey as its de facto president. Although he's not head of government, he'll act like he's head of government.
Is he acting like this is a huge mandate for him in the next few years?
His party has, his prime minister rather, has reached out in his speech yesterday where he basically suggested that he's not going to act like that. He said that he was going to act as the prime minister of all Turks. And I hope that's where it stays because that will end Turkey's very deep polarization. But we haven't really heard Erdogan speak yet. I'll be curious to see what he says and how he takes the election results.
Soner Çayapte is director of the Turkish Research Program at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. Thanks so much, Soner.
It's a pleasure.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.